Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Me? What's going on? Okay. Hey, Brian Beebe here. Once again, it's Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, or a little after. Mike and I got talking, and we lost track of time. Mike Brockenfeld in the control room, spinning the knobs and taking your phone calls. Although he's not too busy taking phone calls most of the time when I do my show because nobody calls. But anyway, it's Wednesday 5, a little after 5, and we're once again brought to you for the next 50 minutes or so, 55 minutes, by Sorrento's at the Wilderness, a great Italian restaurant where I have played four nights a week for 11 and a half years. And Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin. So, at which I'm hoping that for today, I've asked him almost every show for the last, 50 shows or whatever I've done, I've asked the boss over at Monk's at the Wilderness, Dan Collar, to call in. And he never does. He did one time, I guess, in 50-some shows. Anyway, they have a show this weekend that I want to talk to him about. The Britons are a Beatles tribute band. They're very, very good. They've been there before. They sell out. They're very good. And in honor of that show today, I'm going to be playing the table drums and singing only Beatles songs, unless you don't like the idea, because I'm going to suck up to this crowd just as hard as I possibly can today. So that's sometimes I suck up too much, but if you request something else, I'll give it a try. But I'm going to try to keep it close to the Beatles, like try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. What's another one? Got a good reason, taking the easy way out now. And I could have brought that 150-pound keyboard down the stairs, but I didn't. I don't feel bad about it. All right, today, we're going to talk about a number of things I get planned out. We didn't get around to really talking about Google Glass last weekend. We mentioned Google Glass in that it's a computer that you wear glasses for, and it can control your drone. But we didn't talk about drones very much. We're going to talk about nanotechnology just for a couple of minutes. Don't worry. Don't turn off right now.
Just for a nitty-bitty
tiny bit of the show, yes.
Nano moment.
Yeah, microscopic portion of the show. Just a question. Now, if for example, we're going to talk a little bit politics, not too much, but if, for example, Trump is removed for some criminal act or something, does Hillary automatically become president? I mean, it can't be. Nobody elected Mike Pence, right? Nobody really. He didn't get any votes. So that's just something to think about. If he gets pulled out of office or impeached or anything, is Hillary president automatically? Because all right, I heard somebody answer no there. I thought that was funny. And the other thing I'm going to talk about. This huge polarization between radio networks that are doing the news. You think that this particular time in our history is unique, where some networks are totally opposite of other networks, and they're supposed to be reporting on the same things. They're both supposed to be news, news and comment, I'm sure. But do you think that's ever going to reverse itself? The answer is no. They're never going to be tame news anymore since the 24-hour news cycle started. Nobody's going to ever go back to reporting on kids' little league games or cute kitten videos or whatever, anymore. And so that leads me to wonder, Is it going to constantly swing every time or every 4 years or 8 years whenever the party in control gets completely shoved aside by the news media that was prevalent for that 8 years or whatever, and then they elect another one? Let's say it's the Republican, and then he gets voted out and the Democrat gets in there. Well, all of a sudden they're going to tear apart everything that a Democrat does, you know, and they're going to try to impeach every president that comes along now, aren't they? And so that's the way it's going to be. Now it just it swings with every president's party affiliation, and the news media will just decide who can and cannot be elected the next time around. I mean, it just doesn't seem to add up. It's never going to be tame, cutesy news anymore, ever. Here's another. I'm listening to the radio on the news radio on the way down here, and it occurs to me that they're always talking about how Robert Mueller's investigation is getting very much closer all the time, and something's going to happen. Well, the investigation itself, say what you will, it might be dividing the country at the same time that it's attempting to heal the country. I don't know what it is. But what if the world blows up before Mueller completes his investigation? Huh? I mean, it just seems to go on and on and on, doesn't it? And it could just all of a sudden something happen and somebody explodes a nuclear bomb, and now nobody wants to know anything about Mueller. You know, I mean, they want to know what's going to happen to inside of their bomb shelter or whatever they're in, you know. And they're also talking about, I wish Mitch Hank was here. I wish hope he calls in, because these tariffs, I don't know, you hear both sides of these new tariffs, the trade war that President Trump has declared needs these new tariffs, and there's people on both sides of this issue. But didn't they used to sort these things out? They always referred back to the free market. Wasn't the free market supposed to take care of these things? Mike, help me out. I mean, if you were too high priced on something, then you sold less of it, and your price had to come down. That's the essence of the free market.
Right.
you don't adjust it with a 25% tariff, I don't think. I mean, you never used to. It was always, if you weren't doing so well, if America is not selling as many goods as they need to be in balance, as they seem to think they need to, then they're supposed to take their prices down, sell more, do more, manufacture more. The free market was the answer to these things. And if you remember that, then you're probably my age, or almost anyway. Then the Parkland shooting. Okay, one more thing I want to say, and then we'll talk about music. We'll talk about, I got an Irish joke. I'm going to just tease you a little bit with an Irish joke for next week. We'll have a bunch of them. I brought in a thing that's, I want to get it. I got some new jokes, too. And 30 facts that don't sound true, but they are true. I'm going to share that with you. And but the thing about this, is it Kunz? Is that his name? K-U-N-Z? The guy who shot up the Parkland school? The defense attorney, who is a public defender, says they shouldn't be able to ask for the death penalty. And the prosecutor says, if there was never any other case that was more definition of what deserves the death penalty, it's got to be this, doesn't it? I mean, if they don't give this guy the death penalty, they can never give it to anybody else ever. Huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't come any more evil than this guy. If he doesn't get the death penalty, who does?
Yeah, the rabid dog. Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. I don't know what happened. I do care, but I mean, I don't know enough about the issue to know that. But if they're fighting about whether this kid gets the death penalty or not, I don't know how that can even be a factor or even be a question in this case because, I mean, every murderer is mentally ill. I mean, some kind of mentally ill, isn't he? Anybody who would take somebody else's life, even if they're, you know, corporate raiders and they're spies and stuff like that, they got to be imbalanced. Yeah, imbalanced somehow. And one of the things I was going to talk about, too, is this book that I just finished. It's a David Baldacci book. He's popular fiction. But he's a smart guy, and he talks about things that are really going on in the world while he's telling a story. And this last one was called Hell's Corner, and it was kind of an old one. It was from 2010. And if you're me, you don't like to read books that were like from 1976 or, you know, 1990, before we used cell phones, because it's every crime in every one of those old books, you can't help saying to yourself, oh, use your cell phone. Yeah. No, they got to go find a phone booth, you know. Right. Or they got to go up to some stranger's house and ask to use the phone. No, that just takes away from the story for me. But anyway, this if you've read this book, it's called Hell's Corner, and it's about a bomb that goes off across the street from the White House, and the 600 pages of back and forth trying to figure out this. And maybe we'll go to a break, and then I'll start it with that. But in the meantime, let me just tell you, we're talking about Chicago with all the gun violence in Chicago, too. And I was down there recently, and I saw a bumper sticker on a car in Chicago that said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry, I wasn't shooting at you."
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And then I stopped a guy. He says, "What about all this violence in Chicago?" And he said, "No, there's no violence in Chicago." I said, "What? I hear it all the time on the radio or on TV. It's all this shooting and stuff." He says, "No, there's no violence." And I said, I really thought, well, what do you do for a living? He says, "I'm a tail gunner on a bread truck."
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe on a bread truck. So maybe there is that kind of, yeah. Then I wanted to write a bumper sticker, "Forget world peace, visualize using your turn signal." I wanted to have that on my car. Chicago traffic, forget it, you know. All right, let's go to a break. Brian Beebe, once again, Monk's Bar and Grill and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. And I'm going to promise you I won't say so much after we get back. I'll get myself organized. Talk to you later.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Hey, it's Brian Beebe. It's Brian Beebe once again, Wednesday night. And I kind of brought up this book by David Baldacci for a couple of reasons. Nanotechnology, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, Think just in terms of the way computers are evolving things so much more quickly now than they used to when we were kids. And nanotechnology is the smallest, tiniest little things. One of the things that I was going to mention in my 30 facts that don't sound true but are is if you lined up all the molecules in a single teaspoon of water, you following this, Mike? If you lined them up in a straight line, okay, where's my glasses? Here it is. So many molecules in a teaspoon of water, if you lined them straight up in a straight line, it would stretch 30 billion miles. I wasn't ready for that. Anyway, so nanotechnology is tiny at that molecular level in molecules. And this book claimed that the Russians had this technology and were able to take inert masses of stuff or even explosives and change the molecular structure of it so that it could get through bomb-sniffing dogs.
Whoa.
Bomb-sniffing dogs can sniff like 900 different scents and identify them.
Compounds,
and react
yeah.
to them. Yeah. And they this nanotechnology has the and thank God in the last 8 years since this book was written, I haven't heard anything about this, but maybe it's happening as we speak. And these dogs can sniff it through glass, through plastic, even 5-6 feet of earth, you know, if it's buried. But here, they can actually change the molecular structure of this explosive so it doesn't have one of these scents that the dogs can smell.
Crazy.
And they can change something that's not explosive into an explosive.
Mm.
By using these nanobots. They call them nanobots. So you might be able to take the bomb through the airport security because it's not a bomb. And then the nanobots change
in flight.
The explosive
nuts.
Into... Yeah. Yeah. Nanobots in nanotechnology. Look it up. NANOBOTS. Robots in nano scale.
Now, if you think if they'd be able to do something about the way explosives smell, they'd be able to figure out how to make a gym bag not smell bad.
Yeah, how about that? Well, then the other thing is that it's the other use of it is to make drugs not smell.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
So that bomb-sniffing dogs or drug-sniffing dogs can't smell it either. You could just walk right through the airport with your luggage full of this stuff. Yeah, and what about gym bags?
Let's start there.
You can buy, if this nanotechnology ever gets cheap enough, people will use it on their gym bags and their socks and stuff, you know. You know, why should I take a shower? Just sprinkle a little nanotechnology
your
on
nano
my
machines.
Socks. All right, never mind. But we were talking about, I was just talking to Mitch Hank, or the ghost of Mitch Hank a few minutes ago about the Google Glass and controlling the drones. I was trying to get to this last week and we didn't get to it. Drones, if you know what they are basically four little propellers on a, I don't know if they come in all different sizes, but these cute little drones, probably big ones too. And Amazon is talking about, if they haven't done it already, delivering your packages with a drone. Have you heard that story?
Yep.
You order something from Amazon, and the drone flies over your house and drops it on your porch.
It's going to be intense.
Yeah, the drone. And so that's a good use of a drone, delivery. Here's another good use of a drone. And then, because I think people are kind of afraid of this. It's anything as radically new as this.
Privacy.
They're thinking spying.
Yeah.
People are going to drive over my pool and see me skinny dipping, take pictures. or they drop a bomb, or they can weaponize these, put guns on them. They probably have. There's all kind of different things that they're thinking about doing with drone technology.
I think the sale of pellet guns has gone up since the drones came about.
Yeah? Well, I don't know. You think anybody's shooting pellets out of a drone?
I mean, people shooting the drone.
Oh, shooting the drone. Yeah. Well, a pellet wouldn't probably take care of it, would it?
Depends on if it's plastic. Way up there, yeah.
These aren't these $129 toys that you can buy, you know, at the hobby shop. I'm sure the drones that Amazon would own, you couldn't shoot them out of the sky.
No, probably not. How could it ever work,
you know? Anyway, how about a good use of a drone? Did you ever hear Google Glass? Let's just say that there was a doctor. One doctor in one state, or in the Midwest someplace, he had the Google glasses on. Now, let's say it's out in Montana, and there's desert everywhere, hundreds of miles between the doctor and anybody, you know. So now this person gets hurt, and you can send the drone out to the accident site, and the doctor can perform surgery.
Cool. Yeah.
From a drone, you know, or they can at least diagnose what's wrong before EMTs could ever even get to the guy who was hurt. You know,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they could do some life saving thing on this person out in the Nevada desert somewhere. Or Omaha, I mean, Oklahoma. You know, you ever drive across Oklahoma?
Yeah.
It's 500 miles of completely, not even a town.
Yeah.
You see signs that say, next rest area, 235 miles.
Good luck.
Yeah. Or next exit, 200, you know. Yeah, so you don't want to run out of gas. You don't want to get hurt or run off the road, So anyway, the drones have positive uses too. Everybody wants to be afraid of these things that are new and radically different, but it's not necessarily always bad. All right. Have I talked about it? Yeah, I'll tell you an Irish joke in a little bit too, and I got some new jokes too. I'll just give you a little taste. I think I told this one before. I'm supposed to make this sound like I'm really saying it, okay? Damn, I forgot to go to the gym today. That's 10 years in a row now. Yeah. That would have been the laugh, not the gasp.
Was good.
The gasp was just as good. Okay, somebody's on the phone. 30 facts that don't sound true, but are. All right, so maybe somebody's going to be calling in. Somebody's going to be complaining that I'm not playing any music. I'm just talking. Who is it?
George.
Is it for me? Oh, see, now George is going to be on me for not singing anything. Hello, George.
Hey, buddy. No, I just tuned in. I just came out of Costco and boom, did the phone. I haven't even listened or looked at your beautiful blonde face or nothing, man.
Wow.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, though. Hey, I wanted to get your opinion.
All right.
What are you doing? Because I'm on my way to Aaron's Snug Irish Pub right now down there, but I wondered, what do you do for St. Paddy's Day, Saturday? What do you do all day?
What do I do myself all day?
Besides Serrano's that night, I
I'll probably sit there stewing and dreading St. Paddy's Day. Most
Why?
Of the day, I'll spend. Well, St. Paddy's Day is one of the toughest nights for me to play of the year, and I'll tell you why.
Half
the crowd wants you to be all Irish all of a sudden. All Irish music. And the other half of the crowd doesn't want to hear any Irish music at all. They just want you to play party music, and they want to get drunk. Yeah, so every song you play makes somebody mad. It's just a terrible... It's a terrible night for me.
Well, then, hey, I got an idea.
What?
Why don't you call... I don't let Sorrentos hear this, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, why don't you call in sick that morning for that night and let him have your substitute backup, Brian, and then you can come with me to the Irish pub.
Oh, yeah? I couldn't keep up with you.
I'll buy you drinks all night.
I couldn't keep up. You know what? Two drinks is my... I'm not a drinker, man. I can't really do it.
God. And when were we there last time? We had such a blast. A week or two again. I mean, it is... Who needs Vegas? I'm kidding you.
You know what?
You could come to Sereno's, Brian, with you there. Great appetizers, great drinks, great people. Everything.
You met some nice people there last week or whenever that was.
Well, and one of them might be with my son now, so you might have to do a wedding song at Sorrento's if that's where they end up and they met at. You know,
what?
So how cool is that?
Oh, your son and somebody at Sorrento's?
Well, a friend of theirs, and so anyway, like that. So I mean, who knows? You never know. I mean, it's a ways to go, but it could be a stretch. But you know me, I think positive, Brian.
Yeah.
Think positive. Buddy.
Well, I promised that I would take care of you for all these nice things that you say about me and about Sorrento's every week. So.
But Brian, it's not BS. I only speak the truth.
Oh,
whether it's for President Trump or whether it's for President Obama.
Well, I'm not going to.
America or Europe, I speak the truth.
I'm not going to give you another gift card next time you come. That was a one time.
Say that on the air. All your friends will want one.
Well, if they would call in and be as complimentary as you and as complimentary about Sorrento's as you are, I'd give them a gift card too.
You are the bomb. I'm not kidding you. Mitch said, George, when you get hooked up with Brian, you will be gone in La La Land. He told me that. He says, you will fall in love. Because I didn't know you for how long.
No.
And then all of a sudden, here you are.
Did you buy at Costco? We're just killing time?
Chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot pie.
All the samples. And chicken pot pie. And they got real cheap milk there. $1.60 a gallon, Brian.
Wow.
Their milk.
You get a plastic jug with it, too, or you got to buy those bags?
No, it's in the jug, just like the regular milk.
Really?
And then I bought a tossed Cobb salad or something to watch my weight, you know.
Cobb salad?
Yeah, it comes in a big tub, like, you know.
Oh, so you can scoop out? Really?
I'm at Aaron Snug Pub, Irish Pub. I want to bring you to sometime. But anyway, I'm going to go in there now and throw back a couple Guinness.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you, my friend. You are the bomb.
All right, man. Brian. Thanks for calling, George.
Yep. See you, buddy.
Well, he cut me off that time. I usually have to try to cut George off, but he cut me off that time. Well, he was in the parking lot at Aaron Snug, so. A snug is a Irish word for something, a cozy little place. It's not really a blanket or what you might think, a snuggie or something like that. And Aaron is a girl's name, but it's also the word, the Irish word for Ireland. And so they say Éireann go bra. Éireann go bra, B-R-A-G-H. That means long live Ireland. I always said Éireann go braless just to get a laugh, you know, go braless. Kiss My Blarney was another one, you know. But anyway, let me tell you a quick Irish story, a joke, so you will. I'm not going to tell you the same one either that I always tell. Here's a quick one. This is just a tease because I got a quick one and a long one. Because next week will be the Irish joke week, all right? The first one is, the Irishman is drunk and he's laying in the street bleeding. A cop asks, can you describe the guy? And the Irishman says, that's what I was doing while he was hitting me. Oh, you got the both of them. All right, this is a kind of a cute one, okay? Kind of a little bit naughty, maybe nuts, but not naughty like the ones I told last week. A Scotsman and an Englishman and an Irishman were in a bar together. And the Scotsman says first, he says, as good as this bar is, I still prefer the pubs back home in Glasgow. There's a wee place called McTavish's. The landlord goes out of his way for all the locals. When you buy four drinks, he'll buy the fifth drink. Well, English, says the Englishman, in my local in London, the Red Lion, the barman We'll give you your third drink after you buy the first two. And then the Irishman pipes up. He says, ah, that's nothing. Back home in my favorite pub, the moment you set foot in a place, they buy you a drink. Then another. All the drinks you like, actually. Then when you've said you had enough, they'll take you upstairs and see that you gets laid all on the house. And the English and the Scotsman are a bit suspicious of the Irishman's claims. And the Irishman swore every word was true. And the other two said, did this actually happen to you? He says, not me self personally, no, but it's happened to me sister a couple of times. Two Irishmen pulled over by the cop, drunk, and he asked the first one, what's your name? He says, Paddy McGuire. He says, where do you live? He says, no fixed address. So the cop says to the other guy, okay, what's your name? He says, Mick McTavish. He says, where do you live? He says, I live in the flat below Paddy. Yeah, all right. No.
Missed it.
Yeah, no, I get it. They'll be better next week because those were the throwaway ones. And just teasing you for St. Paddy's Day. And next week, let's see. Today's the 7th, right? It'll be the 14th, the next show. And we'll have Irish everything. I might even bring some green stuff in here. Wear green. Bring some green in here and tell you some Irish stories, huh? Mm-hmm. I was telling my son, who lives with me now since the hurricanes in Florida, about my old bar. And for some reason, guys like stories about drunkenness and bar fights and things like that more than girls do. Okay. But I was going to talk about that. If I need something, I'll tell you a few silly bar fight stories. But one of these days, too, I want to talk about tech or no tech in performing. And a guy like me nowadays is rare, really rare, and behind the times because most guys that do a solo act have backing tracks. They walk in with an iPad, and they get a PA system that's, you know, one piece, and one, like a stick.
Yeah.
PA system. You know, 25, 30 pounds worth of gear, and that's it. And a guitar or a keyboard or whatever. And used to be, and in the wintertime, this is one of the reasons that I don't do this anymore, hauling PA, big PA heavy equipment around in the ice and snow just doesn't get it, just doesn't make sense. So, but here's the question. Do you feel a little less involved or a little less connected to an entertainer that's maybe sitting down and he's got all the sounds, the whole record, it sounds exactly like the karaoke backing track or sounds like the actual record. He's got all the harmony parts, the horns. He's playing guitar, and he's got, in one person, he's got a four-part harmony and a string section and a horn section and drums and everything. I mean, do you feel a little bit less than involved there? Do you feel like you're being cheated somehow? Anybody?
I think we do, musicians.
But do the audience? I've always resisted having these background tracks and stuff because, first of all, I don't want to be twisting knobs all the time. I want to just play the songs, talk to the crowd, get the requests going. And my whole act is celebrating the song itself, not trying to make it sound like the record. In fact, I never change the sound of my keyboard. In 3 hours, I'll be up there, and it still sounds the same from the first song to the last.
Preset one.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I do. And I've done pretty well doing it that way. I mean, I haven't really had any problems getting work or whatever. But these other guys, and I think some people like in Florida, before you even get a chance to play, they want to know if you have these backing tracks. They want you to sound like you got a steel drum section, you know. You know that you got to have a sound just like the record. You got to sound bigger than just a solo guy with a guitar.
Right.
That's what they think you're going to be doing. And I don't know. I've avoided it. And I don't think people are generally are paying that much attention. The average bar patron wants to hear the songs that they like. It doesn't matter if you have a whole bunch of backing tracks or if you're just playing by your guitar or your keyboard. And I think they can be fooled by having more than one instrument in your background. Mm. But they don't, even the simplest fan that really doesn't know much about the tech can tell when there's more than one person singing. You know, they might forgive you a bass player, or if you had a piano on with your guitar or something, they don't really pay attention. But if all of a sudden you break into a 3-4-part harmony, or you're singing and another background comes weaving in behind you, they get that. And I think they're going to accuse you of being a karaoke for sure. All right, before we get too late, before we get behind schedule, I want to tell you, too, that Monday, the 19th of this month, I've been invited to go down to Rockford and play in Bunny Carlos's Monday night band, sing a song or two. So if you're not doing anything, if you're in Rockford, if you're in Madison, and you feel like having some fun, Rockford, right down on the river at Mary's Place. It's the place that Bunny Carlos, the original drummer from Cheap Trick, he announced a major winter tour, and it was two Monday nights at Mary's Place. It's the tiny little bar in Rockford. And that's all the touring he likes to do. We've even asked him to come up to the Dells, but he hasn't done it. My friend Dan from Monks didn't call in again, but the Britons, a great, great Beatles tribute band, is playing there Saturday night, and there's just a handful of tickets left. You can get just the show, or you can have the VIP ticket with the meals. And anyway, I wrote a thing last year when they came about how impressed I was with the way they sounded, just like the record, just like the Beatles records, without cheating. I mean, everybody played their instruments. Yes, they had effects, you know, on their vocals to make them sound a little thicker and more like the record. But they had the original instruments, the original everything, original amplifiers, and they had the look. They're wearing those Beatle wigs, and they were, you know, the first half of the show is the early Beatles, and then they take a break, and they come back, and they're dressed as the Magical Mystery Tour, the Sgt. Pepper guys. And they did, by the way, 34 songs each night in their show last time they came. They're only here for one night this time, but I'm sure that it'll be just as good of a menu of songs this time as it was last time, because these guys are dedicated professionals. I went to Soundcheck last year and got talking to some of the guys, and like the newest guy in the band has been with them 16 years, and the other guys have been there 20, 40, you know. Anyway,
playing together forever.
Yeah. And they cool. So they know the material, and they don't take it for granted either. I mean, they are serious about making it sound like the record. It's not four guys over in the corner on a top of a pool table, you know, or the in front of the beer sign playing Beatles songs. Yeah. You know, these are guys that are serious about making it sound like you want it to sound. Like you want it to sound like the record. And that's what the Beatles, I don't know, it's a different kind of way to present the Beatles, because lots of people like to do real popular Beatles songs, and do them their own style. You know, I never was like that. I'm in love with those pop records from the 60s, and I wanted to sound like those records sounded to me. But yesterday, for example, back in the 80s, I read in the Guinness Book of World Records that it was the most covered, the most recorded song by other artists of all time. Over 200 artists had recorded a version of Yesterday. and it was one of those things that McCartney, not like he needed a lot more money. Back in the 85, I read someplace that he was making $5,000 an hour 24/7 on his publishing alone, not his records or his concerts, anything. I'll get you to use that for a second now. Mike has dug up an unusual response track to some of this stuff. These are 30 facts that don't sound true, but they are true. Let's see. The lighter was invented before the match.
Oh.
Yeah. I said Betty White. How about this? France last used a guillotine to execute someone after Star Wars premiered. So you're talking about the 70s, you know, it's in 1977. They were still using a guillotine in France to execute people. Harvard University was founded before calculus existed.
Whoa.
That's a long time ago. It's never said that Humpty Dumpty was an egg in the nursery rhyme. Doesn't that sound like he just was
really?
Couldn't put them back together again. Somebody on the phone?
We got Stevie Ray.
Oh, Stevie Ray Nelson. Stevie, thank you. Thank you for calling in, man. You're a lifesaver. You call in and help me out. How are you?
I love lifesavers. I love lifesavers, especially butter rum. Those are my favorites.
I wish I had a butter rum lifesaver right now. Do they make them in diet?
I don't think you need to. That's kind of, you don't have to worry about that. That's like that high C stuff you put in the water. There's no calories in that, so don't worry about it.
Oh, you're talking about
I got
Crystal
that.
Light?
I just discovered it, quote, yeah. Air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to a few of the things you're talking about, and then people calling me all at the same time. So I'm doing well. I'm back from my Maggie May trip, and thought I'd weigh in on this this deal with the high school shooting. Well, I don't know. It probably is appropriate because Ron White, the comedian, he was saying here they're from Texas.
Yeah,
and he says, we have the death penalty, and we use it.
Yeah, that was funny. What happened to Ron White, man?
Oh, he's still doing Vegas, and he's still on tour.
He used to play the Crystal Grand up in the Dells a couple times.
He did, yeah.
A couple shows
every year.
I've
seen him. But, yeah, if you're going to use it, you're right, as far as that goes with that kid, with the death penalty, if you're going to use it. That would be exactly what that is intended for.
I mean, you can always figure out that there's something wrong with somebody and say, yeah, well, he was mentally ill, or he wasn't on his meds, or whatever. We should excuse him and put him in life. Hey, the other thing to consider is it costs like $50,000 a year to keep a guy in prison, and probably in maximum security or death row, it's even more than that, huh?
Well, I was going back on my, I don't know if this is, well, this is probably unrelated, but I was going back in my hospital bill, and thinking to myself, well, they put me back together and then put me back to work so I could pay them back. It'd be cheaper to bury me because the average funeral is $9,000.
Yeah.
So it says Alex Trebek anyway. I was thinking, well,
$6,000.
What good is that going to do? You know?
They tried to keep you a little longer once or twice too, didn't they, Stevie?
Yeah, they wanted to make sure that. You know, make sure that I was well enough, strong enough to get home. And then they had this defibrillator vest that was supposedly an option but they wouldn't release me unless I got it.
Really?
So that's another thing I signed, and then, you know, here comes the bill for that.
Yeah, and how much was it, a defibrillator belt or vest?
Hundreds. Somewhere around, it was like 500 for so many weeks.
And they wouldn't let you out unless you showed them that you bought that, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down.
Jeez.
At the end of the day, that's how it went down. We won't release you because you're not strong enough unless you get this. Well, then it's not an option, is it?
Yeah. Here's a thought for you, man. Maybe if I can't work anymore and my Social Security isn't enough, maybe I'll just go out and rob a gas station or something and get thrown in jail, huh? Three squares a day, place to live, no rent, no food bill, no nothing?
Yeah.
I'd have to shoot and wound somebody, I suppose, use a gun. I'd have to shoot somebody and wound, not kill them. I wouldn't want to kill them. But I would wound them if I could live in a...
Well, if your aim is anything like mine, you wouldn't kill them.
No, unless you were trying to miss them, and then you'd shoot them.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what... It doesn't add up. If they don't give this guy the death penalty, and I'm sure his lawyer is supposed to say, make a deal somehow, or get him to get off the death penalty, but if he doesn't qualify, who does, man?
Exactly, yeah.
And so maybe the death penalty has run its course. I don't know. There's a lot of people who really seriously believe in it. But when you look at the cost of building prisons and if they're private, if they become private, like the talk is now of building private prisons, well, then they're going to want to have everybody in there because they get paid so much, you know, for by whom, I don't know. They get paid to keep these people in there, right? And if they put them to death, the private prisons are losing money. So it's a crazy thing. But if it comes down to logical spending of your tax dollars, you can't keep marijuana felons or anybody like that. That if they haven't hurt anybody in their crime, I think they gotta get out of there and save taxpayer money. What do you think?
Well, you'd be defining heinous crime.
Yeah. Then how do you?
How do you define that? Then you'd have to put a definition to all that and just say, well, you know, this is going to be.
Yeah.
We'll put you away for this if you do this, and
then you'd have a judge that just hears cases. Where somebody's trying to establish that it was a heinous crime, huh?
Yeah, sure enough.
So then you get to stretch it out longer, you know, go through the court system. Jeez, I don't know, man.
I should run for something. We'd had this all figured out. But the trouble is somebody would come forward and say I did something.
Yeah.
I'd have to resign. It just goes back to the last time I called you.
Here's the other thing, Stevie. Who's got a clean enough record to be the president or the state senator? Who's squeaky clean enough to even qualify to be those people?
I'm thinking the Pope.
Maybe.
Nobody's digging
around on the Pope. Nobody's really trying to. There's a thing coming up on TV about the Pope. With 2.1 billion followers or something, over a billion followers or something, he's the most powerful man in history, the Pope. So you don't think that some of those, he might have had some nasty dealings in his past? I mean, lots of political stuff.
I don't think anybody's completely squeaky
but he's
clean
not,
enough.
He's
enough.
Only being elected by, you know, the cardinals. That's only like 100 guys or something. If he had to get elected by all the Catholics in the world, there'd never be another Pope.
There.
Huh?
It's a puff of white smoke and you're in there, laddie.
Yeah. There was a little bit of the the nastiness of the Catholic Church in the Dan Brown's books and in The Godfather 3, I think it was, what was the name of the family in The Godfather? Corleones were buying the Catholic Church's big company, remember that? $600 million or something. So I mean,
that's one thing I didn't see.
There was some ugliness about the Pope and stuff in that one. But anyway, we got 3 minutes here, man. What else? Can I read you a couple of these and get you to comment, man? Hold on.
Sure.
Hold on.
Are these the 30 facts?
30 facts that sound true but don't sound true but are. When you get a kidney transplant, they usually just leave your original kidneys in your body and put the third kidney in your pelvis. Can
yeah,
you believe that?
Exactly. Thank you for that.
The water in Lake Superior could cover all of North and South America in a foot of water.
Uh-oh.
How about that?
Ooh, that's a good one. It's cold enough.
Hey, a speck of dust is halfway in size between a subatomic particle and the Earth. Can you? That's halfway. I mean, there's lots of things smaller than a speck of dust, and lots of things. Quite so amazing.
I'll have to think about that one.
How about this one? You've been traveling. We went to the moon before we thought to put wheels on suitcases.
Huh? That sounds like something off of stand-up.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's
if we can go to the moon, how come we can't put wheels on suitcases?
Well, we can now, but we just didn't think of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie, Apollo 13, when they started having trouble, Tom Hanks and the guys in the space capsule, and they all of these guys... leapt into action with their slide rules. Remember all the guys in the Houston or wherever that big space base was? They needed these numbers checked out in a hurry, and they all got their pens out and their slide rule. Nobody had a computer, nothing. I mean, that was...
Yeah. Kicker was they were right.
Yeah, they did. They could figure it out.
They got them home and those with a slide rule.
Those slide rules, I mean, I have no idea how they work, huh? The Earth is smoother than a billiard ball if both were the same size.
Oh, boy.
How about this? You didn't know this. It's true, but it doesn't sound true. Nintendo was founded in 1889. Huh? How about that?
Now, wait a minute. Now, that one I think I did know.
You did?
Yeah, well, don't tell me what
Where
I
do you...
know.
I didn't say you didn't know it. I just said you did? How
That's
would
the
you...
same thing as somebody says, hey, play this song. I don't know it. Yes, you do.
You know that song by that guy, that song, you know?
That guy,
That guy that did that song. You know it.
That's right.
Stevie, thanks for calling in, man. They're calling my name.
Again,
all right,
Brian,
man. We'll see you. We'll see you soon.
Hope so.
All right. It's Brian Beebe talking about monks at the wilderness and their performance of Beatles, the Britons, this Saturday night. And Sorrento's at the wilderness. MadisonTalks.com. We'll see you next week for the big St. Paddy's Day show. Mm-hmm.